Amen. Thank you, Brother Ralph. You may be seated. And aren't you thankful this morning that when you need His help, you can go to Him. And He's always there. Jeremiah 33, call unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let me invite you this morning, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with us to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 12. Gospel of Mark, chapter 12 this morning. And we'll be there in a few moments. And this morning I want to give us a truth from the Word of God that will help us in our Christian growth, as I want us to look at God's ultimate desire for our life. God's ultimate desire for our life. The traditional view of the book of Mark and Mark's authorship is that, of course, of John Mark, the son of Mary, a friend of the apostles. We find that over in Acts chapter number 12. But John Mark was related to Barnabas and served as really an understudy of Paul, of Barnabas, and of Peter. And most scholars agree that the early church fathers, that Mark's gospel was the result of Peter's preaching and the result of Peter's teaching. And so Mark would take what Peter taught him, what Peter preached unto him, and that he would take that and record that through us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God here in what is considered, or what is, the book of Mark and Mark's gospel. The presumed date for the writing is connected with Peter's death, which would have placed the book in the mid to late 60s. However, the book could have been written as early as AD 56. But it's generally accepted that Mark was the first gospel written, even though it is the third gospel, canonically speaking, in our New Testaments, Matthew, or the second gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It was actually the first gospel written. And so Mark, as you get into the book of Mark, you find that he stressed the works of Jesus. And the book of Mark is a very fast-paced, it's a very quick-paced, active presentation. There is really no lull. There is really no downtime. There really is no time for you to catch your breath. Mark, he just hits one point after the other, back to back to back to back, kind of boom, 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 boom. He just goes right down the line to present to us the works of Jesus. And the tone of the gospel, since it was as a result of Peter, the tone of the gospel reflects Peter's abrupt and his very terse behavior. The emphasis of Christ's works, rather than His words, would appeal to those who were not of Jewish descent, in particular, those of Roman culture. And as we get into the book of Mark, you find that we find Christ as the servant of the Lord, the servant of the Heavenly Father, who came for the sole purpose, the sole desire, to help those in need. That's what you find when you read the book of Mark, the Lord Jesus Christ wanting to be a help to those who needed help. And with very few recorded discourses, Mark presents Christ as a divine worker rather than a divine teacher. And all that being said this morning, you found your place there in Mark chapter number 12. And here we find Jesus, just to give some context. Jesus here, he's watching as many cast money into the treasury of the temple. And although the wealthy gave an abundance of their riches, the poor widow woman that we're going to look at gave more because she was willing to give all. And that's where we find the context of today's text. Notice there, if you would, Mark chapter 12, beginning there at verse 41 and reading down through verse number 44. Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse number 41, down through verse number 44. And the Bible says this, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily or truly I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." For a few moments, it's more like to preach to us on this thought: I surrender all. I surrender all. And so here in Mark chapter 12, we find Jesus, and he is in the final days of his earthly ministry. And it's in that context we find Jesus. He's sitting over against the treasury. And he's just watching people coming and going. He's watching them cast their money into the treasury. And we find here that the Bible says many that were rich cast in much. And so if you know anything about the temple, you would know that at one entry to the temple, they had 13 chests, which were called trumpets, just kind of from their shape. And they stood in the court of the women. And they would be found at the entrance to the temple, the treasure chamber. And there at the treasure chamber, you would have among these 13 chests, you would have 9 chests, which were designated for money gifts in lieu of a sacrifice. 4 were for free will offerings. And so here Jesus, he's sitting and he's watching people come and put their money into the treasury. And that's what we see first this morning. And that's the casting of the wealthy was much. The casting of the wealthy was much. Notice there again, if you would, verse 41, the Bible says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much." And so Jesus, he's using this occasion to further demonstrate the hypocrisy of official Israel. But another fact here is that Jesus sat down indicates and teaches us not only of his humanity, not only of his weariness, but also the storm of confrontations that he had went through up to this point. Well, now they were over, at least momentarily. And so he takes note how that the rich were casting much into the temple treasury chest. And we see the gathering of the rich, the Bible says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury, and many that were rich, and we see the giving of the rich, and many that were rich cast in much. And so we see that the rich, they come, and they have an abundance of wealth, and the Bible says here, they cast in much. They gave much to the treasury. But then secondly, I wanted to see this morning, the casting of the widow was more. The casting of the widow was more. Notice verse 42. The Bible says, "And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing." And so we see here this widow, her difficulties were mentioned. and there came a certain poor widow. We see here this lady, she was without resources. The Bible says she was poor. Not only was she without resources, but she was without relationship. She was a widow. Her husband had passed on, had since long died. And we see she had her difficulties. But then not only did she have her difficulties, but we see that her donation was modest. Compared to the rich rulers, verse number 41, who gave much, the Bible says that she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. That word farthing is equal to maybe a quarter or a penny or a nickel today. And so Mark here, by way of contrast, notes that there came a certain poor widow. And the Bible says she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Again, that word translated as mite means a lepton, referred to as a kind of a small brass coin, which again in modern terms might be the same as a penny. The word translated as farthing was worth something. Even though it was a penny, it was worth more than a penny at this point in time, perhaps equivalent to, again, a modern nickel or a modern quarter. But again, we see the point here is clear. In contrast to wealthy men, openly and just without any care in the world, dropping their sizable offerings, no doubt, in gold coinage into the treasury, this poor widow comes modestly and she puts in her two mites. She puts in her penance. So we see the casting. We see the casting of the wealthy, of the widow. But then thirdly this morning, we see the casting of the willingness was measured. The casting of the willingness was measured. Notice there, if you would, verses 43 and 44. The Bible says, "And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even her living." And so we see here the wealthy cast the abundance. All of all they had, they cast in their abundance. They cast in much. But the widow cast in all. That verse there, verse number 44, all her living. All her living. And so here Jesus calls his disciples. He tells them about this poor widow, and she says, or he says to them, that that poor widow, she cast in more than those rich people. Now, when we look at it and put it in simple terms this morning, if someone came and they put in $1 million, but let's say they had $10 million. But then somebody else comes in and all they have is $100 and they put $100. And you say, "Well, Pastor, who gave more?" Well, obviously, the person who gave who gave $1 million. That would be our way of thinking. But the Lord says, no, they gave of their abundance, but they held something back. But this lady, she gave all. She gave everything. The affluent had given of their abundance. Implied is that the balance in their checking account, even after their gift, was still substantial, notwithstanding their generous offering. But then in contrast, this poor widow of her poverty had put in the very last that she had. That word translated as living literally means her life. In other words, this morning she gave her all. And so the contrast here this morning is clear between the affluent, likely representing the top layer of official Israel, and this poor widow, illustrated for us the most profound truth this morning. The former, the rich, they were hypocritical, they were vain. But the widow likely represented the humble, yet still sincere and godly remnant that was left within Israel. It was not that they would soon demand Jesus' crucifixion, but Israel with their allies and the rich and the powerful. But now this morning in context, this verse and these verses, it's talking about money, money of the rich, money of the poor, so on and so forth. But here's the application this morning. That word living means her life. This poor widow woman gave her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And she held nothing back. You say this morning, what is God's ultimate desire for our life? What is Christ's ultimate desire for our life? It's just that. Our life. He wants our all. He wants our everything. But you say, Pastor, I just don't have much to offer. I just don't have much to give. Listen, if you have of yourself to give, that's all God wants. That's all Jesus wants. Listen, He doesn't care about your money. He doesn't care about your talents. What He wants is you. He wants your life. He wants to, number one, save you from your sin. He wants to come into your heart and dwell in your heart, wash away your sins white as snow, one day take you to heaven to be with Himself. That's what He wants. He wants your life. But how many times this morning, and even as Christians, we can be guilty of it. We say, well, Lord, You can have this part of my life, but this part of my life is just that. It's my life. And You can't touch it. You can't have it. Folks, that's not giving our all. That's not giving our life. That's not giving all our living. He doesn't want us to hold anything back. He wants us to give it all to Him. He wants to have all of our life this morning. You see, this morning, Christ wanted His disciples to know that giving is not measured by how much one gives, but rather by how much one keeps. This widow here, the Bible tells us she kept nothing and therefore gave more than all the wealthy. How about us this morning? You say you're a Christian. You say you've given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Does He have all of you? Does He have all of your life? Does He have every part of you? Or are there parts that you're holding back? Are there parts that you try and separate? God, You can have this part, but God, You can't have this part. It doesn't work that way. He either has all of you or He has none of you. This morning, do not endeavor to give much when you are able to give all. This morning, God's ultimate desire, Christ's ultimate desire, is for our all. He wants your whole life, not just little portions of it here and there. but he wants each and every part, all of you, not just the parts we choose to give to him. This morning, will you, as the title of the message says, I surrender all. Will you surrender all to him today? And may he have your life. May he have his will, his way in your life as he sees fit. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning.